This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, motor works, rental works, yeah! Big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
Paul, welcome back to the show, man. I hope your week's going well.
It's gone great, Jim. Thank you very much.
Let's start with CM Newton. And so much good basketball, three titles in Tuscaloosa. But he also meant a lot socially to the state of Alabama and the athletic program in Tuscaloosa. And then he did so much at Kentucky, the SEC, basketball around the world. This guy had quite a career.
Jim, it's an extraordinary career. And people should recognize CM Newton as one of the most seminal figures in the history of the Southeastern Conference for so many reasons. You laid them out already just to be a really great head coach at two different places, the athletic director who resurrected the University of Kentucky football, the athletic director at the who resurrected the University of Kentucky basketball program after one of its most darkest and ugly scandals. And in addition to that, he was just such a genuinely nice, kind person. But I think when you think about it, you really have to go back to what he did in breaking down the color barrier at the University of Alabama. We've all talked to many people about the difficult times in this state's past and so many others. But that took incredible courage and guts, and he saw it through, and he saw it through with such great dignity and grace.
You know, Paul, we talked about this earlier. He lost, and one of the most disappointing losses in Alabama basketball history, obviously, but it was to a great Indiana team. But a lot of people think Alabama might have been the second-best team in the country that year. You never know, but if you beat Indiana and go on and win the national championship, I made the point earlier, every school has to make their Final Four for the first time. And for a lot of schools, it's the first time, and then they make it more after that, after they get over that hump. And you do wonder what might have been if Alabama had won that one game, how it might have changed the future of Alabama basketball.
Yeah, this game is for those who weren't listening, it was in 76 in Baton Rouge. It was a Sweet 16 game. It was before the committee really went to all kinds of different pods like they use now. And you were stuck in the same region with the people of your geographic background. And Alabama played one of the greatest basketball teams of all time, Bob Knight's undefeated team, and it was a one possession game until about 20 seconds left. And I've interviewed Bob Knight about that, and he said that there wasn't any doubt that Alabama was the second best team. And he said no one even came close to Alabama that year, and it was really sad in a way, because I think had that happened, just think about how long ago that was. 42 years ago, how basketball might have lifted off a lot faster than it did. But CM Newton took that, and he had other great teams as well at Alabama and ultimately and later at Vanderbilt. But yeah, to me, what I always remember about him, and like all of us, I knew him as a coach and knew him as an athletic director, but it was later in life that he cared so much. He called me one day after he had moved back and remarried after his wife passed away from a terrible bout with cancer. And he said, "I want to run something by you." And I said, "Sure, coach." He said, I think he'd had me come down to speak to the tip-off club, and he ran this by me there. So I came down, and afterwards we talked, and he said, "I want to do your show." I said, "Okay." He said, "Now..." I say this with all due respect, guys, and you'll appreciate it. He said, I don't want to be like those other guys. I don't want to get paid. I just genuinely want to come on and talk about college basketball. Can we make that happen? I said, you got it. And, we would start, sometime after the bowl games. And, he would come up sometimes, and we would do it by phone if he was – I mean, he was always going somewhere, as you guys know. And it was just so much fun, and the stories that he told. I mean, and listen, you guys have talked to him so many times, but the Maravich dropping 69 on him, the Bob Knight game, working on the, you know, putting together the dream team. I mean, it was just some of my favorite moments ever in talk radio, and just spending time with him. And he would invite me. He had a charity, as you guys know, in Tuscaloosa. And this is somewhat humorous now that I think about it. About 6 or 7 years ago, he had me down, and after this party on a Sunday night, he said, "Come on, I know you're a big basketball fan," and I was, and have been a long time, even though it's not noticed by too many people. And we sat around North River. It was Coach Newton, myself, one other person, and Rick Pitino. And Pitino told stories, and Pitino was trashing other people's integrity, which I get a kick out of now.
In hindsight, yes.
Yeah, but it was you know, he wanted you, whether it was Jim or Ryan or myself, to see college basketball from his prism, and that's what made him so unique.
Paul Finebaum is with us on the Jocks Roundtable. You are just back from Destin, where the SEC held their annual meetings to sort of get the next calendar year started and going in the right direction. We sit here today with Bruce Pearl having a new contract. I know you probably got word of that when you were down on the beach, or when you look at Auburn basketball now compared to where they were when the FBI investigation first broke. Are you surprised that Bruce Pearl is still the coach at Auburn?
You know, I think we all are, and I think Bruce Pearl would be too, and I'm so happy for him, because sitting with him last week, he has taken a lot of punches to the gut and survived, and his record is really fabulous when you think about the composite of what the 6 years at Tennessee and what he's done at Auburn. And I think if you had told me this in November, I would have taken the house against you. But that is just the nature of reporting and understanding things at 38,000 feet. And quite frankly, you have to believe people when they tell you what they believe to be true. And clearly, a lot of people made mistakes in the dissemination of this story. And I, like others, bought into it and thought Bruce was in serious jeopardy. But he stayed the course. He if you called him, Ryan or Jim, or if I did, he would tell you what he knew. And thank goodness he has survived.
Paul Finebaum is with us each week, courtesy of Craneworks, the talent team at Craneworks, the group to call for crane and equipment rental. Craneworks, a fixture on our show in our city skyline, and they bring us Finebaum every single week, normally on Mondays. Paul doing a rare Tuesday appearance here. You made your home in Birmingham for many years, and who knows, maybe one day you'll be here again. But you've seen a lot of professional sports leagues come and go. Tomorrow, the team will be unveiled in the announcement of this new Alliance of American Football. I understand everyone in Birmingham being really skeptical about this, Paul, but this one seems to have more big, respected names behind it than most any of these other leagues.
Ryan, before I became positive Paul and started carrying a message of goodwill and peace on earth to all of our Jocks listeners, I used to be a cynic. I was a newspaper columnist, and I cannot remember how many times I have shown up at a press conference like the one tomorrow, and really without even listening, just started formulating my story the next day or my opinion on our show, and said, "This is a joke. It has no chance of survival." And you know what? Every one of those predictions, even though they weren't always founded on deep analysis, turned out to be true.
They were playing the odds at that point. They all failed, yeah, so just keep saying they would, yes.
But. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. You guys know more about than I was actually in California yesterday, so I missed all the news on this. But I think it's going to be entertaining, and you know there is a pretty good amount of money behind it. It's not, you know, as long as they don't go out and do what the USFL did with a certain New York owner, then they'll probably be able to meet the budget. And fans will show up. I mean, Birmingham has always been one of the best franchises. I ran into Jerry Sklar about a couple of months ago. He was the general manager and president. He was the president of the Birmingham Stallions, which is the best team I think we've ever had. He was selected as the USFL Executive of the Year in the '80s because Birmingham's franchise was run so efficiently, And unfortunately, most of these franchises are not. And as long as it's I mean, do you guys know who the coach will be? I have no earthly idea.
I don't, Paul. They haven't announced him. I am told, because they've really, actually, this league has put together a pretty good roster of coaches. I mean, Brad Childress, the former Vikings head coach, Mike Singletary, Rick Neuheisel, names that everybody knows, Mike Martz, names that a lot of people know. Spurrier, obviously, is at Orlando.
Okay.
I am told that this name might not blow you away. But what they've done is they've tried to get guys that have NFL experience and not really worry about a local tie, but try to get NFL experience.
So Ryan Haney's going to be the head coach.
Yeah, potentially Ryan Haney. We'll run the triple option, Paul. Yes.
I was flying late last. So I did not hear. I was wondering. I know I'm supposed to be the expert, so I hate to keep leaning on you guys for information. But I don't think that is critical. I think the Raleigh Dotch was the coach of the Birmingham team, and he ended up being one of the best coaches that Birmingham's ever had in the 80s, and no one knew his name when he got the job. He was a line coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So don't let that affect you. I think it's the players that matter, and if the team is entertaining, I'm not trying to caution the fans here. But I actually think it's good, and I know that sounds crazy for someone with my checkered past on professional football teams. But if people are entertained, there's nothing wrong with it.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama!
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.